Hey, we're doing another live stream on Sunday, March 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we would love for you to be there. Join us on March 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Mark your calendars, subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/@awaketheiron, and subscribe on our website, awaketheiron.com. That way you'll get all of our notifications for other live streams or anything else like that that you might want to join. The topic for this live stream will be logical fallacies, and it's going to be pretty fun. CJ will be there, Karis will be there, and hopefully you'll be there. All people who join live streams love puppies. Therefore, if you don't join our live stream, you hate puppies. We'll see ya.
Wait, I think that was a logical fallacy?
What? Welcome back to another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kason Pratt. With me, as usual, is CJ, the Lion of Los Anyville. And today, we got a really interesting video that we're going to be analyzing. And CJ's coming in super cold on it. I think I told him don't, you know, research it or whatever, just to get his take on it in the moment. And we're going to be looking at a video by a guy by the name of Chase Hughes. Awesome YouTube channel. And basically, he worked for the military. He's a behavioral scientist. He knows how to read people, body language, you know, like tells, micro expressions, and he also understands about mass manipulation and how people can get other people to do what they want. And it's just really, really, really interesting stuff. Anyway, we're going to be reacting to that video. We'll go through it. And so just to clarify, CJ, you ever heard of Chase Hughes or know anything about him or anything?
Nope. Haven't seen him.
Okay. So we'll get started with that, and I'll pull that up here real quick. And CJ, just wave or whatever, or just chime in, and that we can pause it. I'll try not to pause it too much, but it's okay if we do, because this thing is juicy, okay. Very juicy. So with that, we'll get it started here.
Okay.
There's a little bit of an intro. But production value is like top drawer, so it's very interesting and it relates. So we'll let it go from the beginning.
Okay.
If this is the end, if the stars fall and the earth it begins to bend,
the intelligent minorities can engineer consent through the use of manipulation, propaganda, and control. And we should do it.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
We're in the midst of a serious financial crisis, and the federal government is responding with decisive action.
I know that the American people share my deep belief that if a danger exists in the world, it is a danger shared by all.
We need to actually double down on the public health measures.
You can't look at that television and say, nothing happened on the 6th.
We'd like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple that you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
Most people have no awareness of how easily our behavior and even our identity can be completely taken over. But people are waking up. I spent 20 years in the U.S. military. I'm a behavior expert. I've trained PSYOPs. I'm the best-selling author in behavioral psychology. I want to show you exactly how to identify what we call engineered reality, or what some people call PSYOPs. At the end of this, I'm going to give you a tool that's literally going to give you a score out of 100 that shows you how likely something is to be a PSYOP. Let's do this. So the first thing you need to know is following the FATE model: focus, authority, tribe, and emotion. This is what triggers the mammalian part of our brain that makes all of our real decisions. The first part is focus. PSYOPs always aim to hijack your attention with repetition, shocking visuals of fear-inducing scenarios. Some examples are like 24/7 media coverage of a crisis, or constant repetition of terms like unprecedented. So with this, pause and ask, why is this message being pushed so aggressively? So compare how much airtime different stories are receiving and note any disproportionate focus. The second part here is authority. Trusted figures might shift their tone or positions unnaturally to support the narrative. So watch very closely for expert panelists or endorsements where authority figures might speak outside of their expertise. Pay close attention to that one. Then we have tribe. So messages that polarize opinions or create stark in-groups versus out-groups, or exploit our tribal instincts. For example, labeling groups as patriots versus traitors, or scientific versus deniers. Be very careful when you hear that language. Finally, we have emotion. So be wary of any communication that triggers strong emotions like fear, hope, or outrage without any clear, verifiable evidence. So emotional responses suppress critical thinking. Emotional responses suppress critical thinking. So as a tip here, analyze the evidence that's presented to you. If facts are replaced by appeals to emotion, you need to be very, very cautious. As an example, this, think about like a news channel repeatedly showing images of empty grocery shelves and panicked shoppers during a food supply scare. It dominates every broadcast and it pushes people into fear-driven behavior. Next, question novelty. Our brains are wired to focus on sudden or unusual changes because they signal potential threats or opportunities. And this is an evolutionary survival mechanism. PSYOPs exploit this by creating events that break normal expectations, like unexpected crises or dramatic revelations. So ask yourself, why is this new? So consider if the event or somebody's message has been artificially manufactured or timed. Look for patterns like sudden shifts in public opinion, trending hashtags that are unusual, or viral videos that seem very coincidental. So for this one, just picture a new viral video just claims to expose a government cover-up, but it conveniently comes out the exact same day that there's some damaging evidence against some high-ranking official. The timing shifts public focus.
Okay. there is a lot going on here. So I've watched this video several times because I'm like, wait, what? The first time through. Anyway, I won't stop it a bunch of times, but I just want people who are listening or watching, hopefully you're watching, because the imagery here, it's very obvious that this guy is reminiscent of 2020. Mm-hmm. If you're listening or watching, I want you to be thinking about this whole thing got spurred on because I was having a discussion with somebody, and he was like, you know, I don't know what to do. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I was like, you know what? Just pay attention to what's going on. And if you understand things like this guy's talking about, once you learn a little bit more and you pay attention, you can really pay attention. And so anyone who's listening or watching right now, think about what he's saying, what he's talking about, and take a minute and think about what you've gone through in the last 5 years. And even way before that, but 5 years ago was a biggie. And 2020 checks off every box that this guy talks about. Could he be wrong? Maybe. This is what he does. And he even talks about, maybe not in this video, but talks about that he actually organized PSYOPs. And so he knows how they work if he's creating them or helping them be manufactured, right? So anyway, anything else while I got it paused?
Well, just to clarify, I don't think he even said PSYOP. That's psychological operation, right?
Right.
He used some other term and then said, otherwise known as a PSYOP, but some people might not know. Yeah, psychological operation.
Sorry, thanks for the clarification. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I was taking notes because he was, you know, anytime somebody says like, number one, I feel like I'm in school again, and I'd be like, oh wait, one, what is that?
Yeah.
So he talked about the fate. So that was focus, authority, tribe, and emotion. I don't have a problem with anything that he's saying. I just wonder, how is this going to continue? Because just because something has a focus to it, right, doesn't mean it's a PSYOP, or just because an authority says blah blah blah, or just because it's polarizing. But I see what you're saying. Continue, you know, because okay. He's just saying like these are signs, and then I like how he said at the end, I'm going to give you a tool to see how likely it is. So probably like, oh, if there's the focus 24/7 and media experts saying this, and you get the tribal like polarizing of groups, and there's emotion, you know, chances are it's probably a PSYOP, and then maybe investigate further. So yeah, so I like that.
Okay, we will resume.
Okay.
All of this is part of the NCI system I developed for teaching tradecraft and extreme psychological operations. And there's even a gigantic textbook for all of this stuff in the description. Definitely not for everybody, but it's definitely the most comprehensive guide in the world on this stuff. So next item, look for multiple sources. Centralized narratives create an echo chamber, and they silence dissent and they narrow perspectives. For example, if all media outlets present identical talking points, it is a humongous red flag. So actively seek out contrarian or independent voices, even if they challenge something that's already in your head. So in reality, an example, during a maybe breaking health crisis, all the major news outlets report on the exact same study, but independent researchers reveal the study was funded by a company selling the solution. So watch for that group speak. Next is identify cognitive dissonance weapons. Let's talk about how this works. So cognitive dissonance comes up when new information clashes with our identity or our beliefs. So PSYOPs exploit the hell out of this by including micro-agreements. Micro-agreements are little, small, seemingly harmless concessions to shape your identity. And over time, you're going to unconsciously align your behavior to reduce that internal conflict. And as a weaponization example of this, a PSYOP might present you as a part of moral or intelligent enlightenment, like only good citizens do XYZ. If you disagree with that, you risk some identity conflict there. So
reflect on your identity and ask, am I being nudged to identify with some other group?
So be very careful of any campaigns that are asking for seemingly minor commitments there, like signing petitions, changing your profile picture that evolves into some bigger compliance or demand later. As an example of this, let's say a company launches an ad campaign and they claim real patriots buy local. If you disagree with their product, it feels like rejecting your identity as a patriot. So this pushes you to conform. Be very, very skeptical about those identity statements. Next is looking for those emotional scripts.
What I mean by this is
the scripts that were written in our brains by our ancestors.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's good. The cognitive dissonance, weaponization. And then the term that piques my interest too was micro agreements.
He
said, be careful, or, you know, be aware of, like, so what is an example of that? Or like,
I wrote them down because this part was awesome. The micro agreements, like real patriots buy local.
Right. So how is that an agreement? Well, it's getting you to be like, Oh, I guess I agree that.
Yeah.
If I'm a patriot, so I buy local too, right? Yeah.
Only good citizens do blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so it's you're unknowingly being kind of nudged.
Right. Or, yeah, you can think, oh, wait, if I didn't buy local, then I'm not a patriot. Yeah. And so then that, I don't know, has some effect on you.
I think a lot of it is even things you don't like actually think about.
Yeah.
Like your thought process wouldn't go through that. Oh, well, I want to be a patriot. I think I'm a patriot, so I'll buy local. Like, it doesn't even happen that way in your head.
Oh, okay.
You're just like hoorah, you know?
Right. Okay. So that's the idea of the micro is like maybe like an invisible agreement or like a unknowing.
Mm-hmm.
Agreement, like you're agreeing. Yeah. Or I can think of like I don't know if you think of an example, but like scientists say, or like I don't know, yeah, making you think that, oh yeah, I agree about the, I don't know, vaccines or whatever, because like they're making it seem like smart people or reasonable people, or, you know, would think a certain way about something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah. And yeah,
cut it out.
And he's, you know, he's talking about manipulating people, and, you know, it can start with something as subtle as these micro agreements that he called them, and to where it's just moving you along. And then after 20 of those, as they escalate, right, well,
yeah. And right before that too, he talked about echo chamber and media saying like the same talking points or like citing the same study. And I think we've even shown on another episode or something those examples where they have like all the local news stations, they're all saying the same statement,
word for word, even the inflection of the word.
That's creepy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
It's really creepy. When he said that, these are things that I kind of understood, but not in the way that he's explaining it, like very, very structured and calculated and bullet pointed. But
right. Yeah. And then it's kind of creepy too. Not kind of. It is creepy because those talking points or statements, you know, like they say it on the whatever, Columbus, Ohio news. But then they also say it on the, you know, Minneapolis news and the Oklahoma City. And so then like people from all those places hear it. And so that they kind of think and say the same thing, right? And so that's the idea of the echo chambers. Then like, if you talk to people, then like they'll say it, whatever it is, you know, like, well, we have to trust the science, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's almost just like a puppeting, like not even, people aren't even maybe conscious of it. They just like heard it. And then,
yep.
It's like a confirmation bias too, because then maybe their friend said the same thing, but that's because they heard it, the exact same statement on their local news. So they're like, oh yeah, that must be true, because my friend said it and I said it and I heard it on the news and it, like just the same thing.
Right. And yeah. I think anyone listening or watching, please understand that there are people that are using these tactics on us aggressively on purpose to make you behave in a certain way. This is happening. So
yeah, and I think it's important that it's on purpose, because some things could be a coincidence or an accident, you know, like, oh, they said the same thing, or oh yeah, maybe that's not quite true, but you know, maybe they just got it wrong. Or yeah, but if it's on purpose and deliberate and planned and manipulation, and yeah, then that's in fact, just a quick side thing, I was talking to somebody yesterday kind of about that, and you know, it was like, I don't know, harmful chemicals or toxins in home product or something, and they were saying, oh, you know, it's too bad if that's true, and I wish they would know better or something. And then I was like, or do they know and it's on purpose, you know? And she was kind of like, oh, I guess I didn't think about that, you know, like, oh, not that they were just incompetent people at the company that put harmful chemicals in a product, but they did it on purpose because they knew it was harmful. You know, that's a whole different thing.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, little side tangent.
Okay. Good. Here, we'll continue.
Okay.
I backed it up just a tad because you were like flagging me down.
X is looking for those emotional scripts. And what I mean by this is the scripts that were written in our brains by our ancestors. So manipulated narratives trigger instincts like the fear of loss or scarcity, social rejection, or danger. For example, a media story about food shortages might activate survival scripts that cause panic buying and stuff like that. And we have scarcity fear. This is sudden warnings about limited resources like water or medicine. Also sparks that kind of behavior. And then we have tribal rejection. These are threats of being socially outcast, like you're selfish if you don't comply. And those things override logic every time. And as a tip for this, break the script by focusing on the facts, like what's the likelihood of this scenario? So compare the claims with other sources. For this, just picture where a politician says something like, if we don't act now, our children will not have a future. This taps into survival instincts, those ancestor scripts in our head, and it's tied to protecting offspring. It creates urgency without any facts. Next is follow the money. So there's a trail of beneficiaries here. So identifying who benefits always is going to reveal the motive. So look for funding sources like sponsorships or political connections that are tied to the narrative. So use tools like opensecrets.org or public financial records to see who profits from this. So for policies or campaigns, identify the industries like pharmaceuticals, tech companies, etc., that stand to gain the most. So to illustrate this in your mind right now, picture a charity that's promoting clean energy awareness, and they seem noble until an investigation or showing that it's funded by a solar panel corporation that's lobbying for subsidies or something like that. Next, and this one is very important, is analyze the context boundary. The mechanism here is context, and context defines what is permissible. So manipulative people shift contexts to normalize extreme behavior. As an example of this, in emergencies, people accept surveillance or martial law that they normally would completely resist. So ask, what is the context? Compare some similar events in different settings to see if the rules or responses seem disproportionate. Look for contradictions. So for lots of the students who are brand new to NCI University, this right here is the most massive realization when they realize that the ability to weaponize cognitive dissonance and then shift the context can get anyone to do almost anything. As a hypothetical example of this, let's say there's a major cyber attack. The governments are now justifying some sweeping surveillance laws to protect the citizens. This changes the context to make previously unacceptable actions seem absolutely necessary. Next, spot the use of archetypes because they're woven into our brains. PsyOps simplify narratives by using archetypes types like heroes and villains and saviors. Some examples are like portraying one leader as the sole solution or demonizing dissenters as the enemy. Deconstruct the story. Ask who are the characters and what roles are they playing. Simplistic, like good versus evil stories, usually signal manipulation just about every time. So always seek nuance there. In the real world, you're going to see something like maybe a leader is repeatedly portrayed as a savior fighting something that's pure evil, and the narrative ignores their mistakes and oversimplifies the conflict to prevent a lot of scrutiny. Next, evaluate the frame. So let's do a step-by-step evaluation here. First one is expectation. What are you expected to believe or do based on this thing that you're exposed to in the media? Next is belief. What assumptions are being made about you, like your values or your fears? Then we have perception. So how is reality being shaped, like selective facts or missing contexts? And definition is the final step here when it comes to a frame. What truth is being asserted as something that's completely unchallengeable? This comes up with information suppression. So really look for topics that are being avoided, critics that are being silenced. If somebody needs to be silenced in order for an idea to make it, then the idea is not good. So alternative viewpoints being discredited, that's a big one to look out for. So cross-check timelines of events and notice if critics are labeled conspiracists or if algorithms are suppressing some kind of specific search. And this,
okay, real quick. This is this is right in the sweet spot of kind of what our purpose, my purpose, I'll lump you in with our purpose for this show is to look at the things that we're led to believe or told we shouldn't look at, right? For me, that's if anything is ever swept under the rug or silenced or suppressed or taboo, I'm interested in it. Maybe that's a character flaw for me. So because of that, you know, I've been labeled before, you know, a conspiracy theorist, which he just said that word right when I paused it. But haha, right. Whether you like Chase Hughes or not, he is saying that's the stuff you should look at. Not necessarily that's true, but if it's being suppressed, then right there's he's saying these are red flags is what he's saying.
Right. No, exactly. And I hope it's not a character flaw because I'm the same way.
Okay. Well, we flawed together then.
And it might be, you know, it's sort of like when kids are like purposefully disobedient or, you know, you want to do the opposite of what your mom or dad says, like, okay, now we're going to go out of town. Don't go in that room. Right. And you're like, it makes you want to go in there. Like, so usually we like, I always thought that was bad. Like, oh, well, you don't want to disobey, but maybe we need that characteristic of like, wait, why are they saying don't go in there? I want to investigate. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing. Silencing critics, he said, if alternative views are being discredited, that's a sign. Yeah, because if an alternative view is incorrect, what's the harm in looking at it? Because you'll just realize it's wrong.
Right.
You know, like, oh, yeah, okay, well, some people think that, but who cares? Because that's wrong, right? So, yeah, it should raise a red flag if it's, oh, no, it's not that. Don't look into that. I mean, it's...
Yeah, there's wink, so many wink. Things...
Yeah,
wait, wait. There's so many things he's talking about that just take me back to 2020, and it's just really creepy. It's just really creepy. But it's really good information. So
yeah, and to go back a little bit, he said he had the emotional scripts like fear of loss, social rejection, danger. And then he said all of those things override logic. So, you know, we're all into logic and logical fallacies and wanting people to know how to, you know, discern all that. But it's almost like, wait, all those emotional things override that. So even if, right, even if there is a logical fallacy or something isn't logical, if people are afraid they're going to die or they're in danger or they're going to be rejected, then it's kind of it overrides
your ability to think things through logically. Is it's then, really weird.
Okay, then why, and I'm not saying I'm better than other people, but it doesn't always do that with me. Like I don't know. Or maybe it's just because maybe I know some of this already, so like I hear the emotional things and I might be kind of scared too, but then my logic kicks in. I'm like, oh, well, no, that doesn't make sense.
I think some of it's just the way some people are. I'm that way. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. It's just how I think about things. I'm able to separate emotion from, like decisions.
Yeah.
So some decisions might be difficult emotionally. But I know like logically or tactically what should be the decision, right? And some people, their decisions are like 99% based on their emotion. It's just the way people are wired. So it's not that I'm not empathetic.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go and cry about it later.
but that's just
how I'm wired partially. Then if you study things like this we're watching, or we lived through some things that made us go, whoa, wait a minute, something's not right, then you're just beefing up your you're strengthening your kung fu, so to speak, to where you can spot these things maybe even without having watched this video and understanding what all the things are called, right? Yeah. But you're able to spot things and just say, oh, that's, you know, this isn't lining up with, you know, reality, or that's an illogical statement. And it feels like it's making, you know, trying to make people be afraid, right? Or whatever. Yeah. I see this a lot with whenever there's a snowstorm, like, oh, we're supposed to get 3 to 5 inches, and everyone goes to the store and just cleans the store out. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, Ohio, we're used to snow. It's not like we're, you know, when Florida got like 3 inches, that's a big deal, right? But it's Ohio, 3 to 5 inches. Who freaking cares? Like, you're not going to run out of water. They go in and clear the shelves of water. So like my daughter works at a grocery store, and she's like, oh my gosh, whenever there's a snowstorm, it is pandemonium. And I'm not saying that people are coming on the news and telling you better go stock up, but maybe they do a little bit, but it's like this natural reaction. Oh, there's a snowstorm, we gotta go get toilet paper and water, you know. It's not even like a huge amount.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of bizarre to me.
But yeah, I saw that too.
Okay, back to it. Not too much left here.
This is a big one, especially in today's time. So to get a good example of this, during maybe a corporate scandal, the company's PR team frames these critics as disgruntled employees with a grudge. So this shifts the focus away from the legitimate concerns to the motives of the critics. And it does it almost without us realizing that that's happening in our brain. So next, be alert to rapid compliance shifts. This one is scary and it's happening every day. PsyOps create urgency to drive rapid compliance. And these tactics are stuff like emotional appeals, staged group behaviors, or false consensus. For this, it's really important to slow down and resist the pressure to act, to question the conformity as much as possible, and test the message, engaging the skeptics there. So in the real world, this might look like maybe a viral social media challenge urges all these users to adopt this brand new symbol or profile picture or hashtag kind of overnight, and it creates a wave of compliance. So later, this is kind of like a foot in the door technique. It's tied to some divisive political agenda. Next, study the timing of the events. And this one's huge, especially right now. Timing is everything. Ask yourself, why is this happening now? So what other events or scandals might this thing be distracting everybody from? So look for very coincidental timing with unrelated major news stories or political movements. PsyOps can very often be smoke screens. And in real life, you might see stuff like a huge celebrity breakup floods all of the headlines, exactly as some major investigative report about government corruption is about to be released. Coincidence? Probably not. The next thing I want you to do is to sharpen your brain to start hearing and understanding these manipulation tactics. And one of the biggest things that you can do, the most effective way that I could train you right now, just you and me, is to teach your brain to recognize logical fallacies. So let's go through these, because PsyOps very often use these flawed arguments to convince people. And if you know how to spot them, it makes you a lot harder to manipulate. Let me give you 10 of these so that your brain gets hardwired to start seeing everything a whole lot differently. So the first one that you're going
to... Okay, real quick. Sorry, right before we get into it. This feeds right into the fact that we've done an episode of Logical Fallacies. I've been studying them. I like them. They make sense to me. Spotting them is important. And we're going to be doing a live stream on March 16th. It's a Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@awakethe iron. And also you can subscribe on our website, awakethearon.com. It's real easy. That way you get the notifications for that live stream on Logical Fallacies and any other things that we have coming up that we'll announce. Just needed to plug that there real quick. And our live stream is about logical fallacies, and we'll turn it into a little bit of a game, and people that are in the live stream chat can play along or even join the stream. So we'll have all that for that. So before we get into that, yeah. So he's going to give us a little preview here.
Yep.
Appeal to emotion. So this uses fear and anger and hope to bypass logic. So like, if you don't support this, children are going to suffer. Next is the straw man argument. This misrepresents somebody's argument so they can attack it better. So somebody might say they oppose the lockdowns because they don't care about lives. Think about that one. Number three is the bandwagon fallacy. So this claims that something is true because everyone supports it. And this is, you hear this all the time. Millions of people agree with X, Y, and Z. You should agree with it too. Number four is the false dilemma. This presents only two extreme options and it ignores alternatives. So it's the either you're with us or you're against us fallacy there. Number five is the ad hominem attacks. This is the attack of the person and not the argument. Be very observant for this. So this is when you hear you can't trust her. She's not a scientist. You can't do X because they're not qualified based on X. Ad hominem is very common, and I want your brain to be able to spot it. Number six is appeal to authority. And this is a claim that something is true because an authority figure said so. So like Dr. X supports it, so it's absolutely right. You have to trust the science. Number seven is the slippery slope. These are claims that one action is going to lead to some extreme negative outcome. So you've heard this before. Somebody says something like, if we allow this, we're going to lose all of our freedoms. All of our freedoms are gone. The country is gone. All of that kind of talk like that. Be very attuned to when you hear that and very cautious when you hear that. Number eight, hasty generalizations. And these are broad claims that are made with very little evidence. So the example is two politicians lied, so all of them must be corrupt. So giant claim, tiny bit of evidence. Two politicians might have lied, so they're all corrupt. Number nine is huge. It's the red herring. So this distracts people with irrelevant information. You've heard this maybe as an example. When somebody says, why are we worrying about climate change when we have so much crime going on right now? It's an argument of distraction. Number 10 is false equivalence. This compares two things as equals when they're absolutely not equal. So you'll hear somebody say something in the news that's both sides have extremists, so they're exactly the same. That's a very damaging word. I know there's a lot of information here, so I want to give you access to the actual tool that we use to identify psyops that even rates the likelihood on a 1 to 100 scale. And I'm going to add that into the description right below this video. But keep this in mind. Throughout history, the people who stood tallest in the storm were not the ones who knew all the answers. They were the ones who asked the right questions. They weren't the loudest voices. They were the calmest. They were the people that had composure. Thanks for spending some time with me. One love.
All right. Those who stood the tallest are the ones who asked the right questions. And the second part was they were the calmest. Ooh, that gave me a chill. The production value of his videos are quite good. So they're fun to watch, if anything else. But man, what a packed, I think it's like an 18-minute video or something. It is just packed. Mm-hmm. You could take one little part of it and, really break it down. We're doing Logical Fallacies. We did an episode on it. We're going to do a live stream on it, March 16th, 4 o'clock. So that's cool. There's so much in just that, right? There's lots of people do lots of things just on Logical Fallacies. And it was, you know, a little 2-minute segment on his whole video. But,
This is the scoring thing. Did you check it out yet?
Not yet. I knew. I will have a link in the description to that exact video, which he said it's in that. But if is that a PDF you already got? Or
see, I didn't know if it was a spoiler. I just
no, it's fine.
Right as he was saying it, I opened another tab, and you have to put in your phone number and email. So I know some people don't like that, but But then all this just pops up. So it's, and that's the scoring system he was talking about. So that's pretty cool because you can.
Yeah, can you?
And actually, that's a good.
Can't really see the print, but can you just like read a couple things off? Oh, there we go.
Also, so it's basically like the things he talked about, which is just a nice reminder and outline too, even if you don't like score it. But for example, timing, and then it says question, does the timing feel suspicious or coincidental with other events? Example, story about water contamination services during a corporate scandal. And then you score it 1 to 5.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's all so like, the oh, things.
Like it'd be like a 1 if you're like, no, the timing doesn't really seem weird or whatever.
Yeah. So then you score them all. There's 20. So 5, if they're all 5 times 20, that's 100.
Okay.
And then here's your range. So it's 76 to 100 is overwhelming signs of a psyop.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So any like final thoughts that you have?
I just like how he's putting it to us to think for ourselves. Like, he didn't tell us about any psyops or say, like, hey, did you hear about that one story? That's a psyop.
Right.
And so it just kind of makes you be thinking, like, oh, maybe that one is. Let me think about that. Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of info in there. And just like, I'll reiterate what I said before, the whole thing that sparked this idea for this show for me was just a discussion with someone who was, you know, we were talking and I was like, you know what, just don't feel too overwhelmed. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. Just pay attention. And it was after that this video came across, came onto my radar, and I was like, wow, this is exactly what I was talking about. Like, not only are we going to just pay attention, we're going to learn how to pay attention and to what and why, maybe. I also liked, he said something about you don't have all the answers. Like, you know, what did he say? Some of the people who, you know, do the best aren't necessarily the ones that have all the answers, right? They, it takes the pressure off when you feel like, oh, I got to figure everything out. Well, guess what? You're probably not going to figure everything out. I don't think anybody could figure everything out.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if we're talking about deception. And if someone's trying to pull over something on you or a bunch of people, right? Mm-hmm. That's they're trying to be deceptive. So you're going to have to go through the smoke, so to speak.
Yeah.
But he gives a lot of tools there. And so we'll have that video in the description, maybe in that document, if it's separate. If not, someone can go to that video and just go down to his description and find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I highly recommend. The guy has a lot of shorts too that are very interesting. I'm not in communication with that person. No one's making any money on each other's like promoting or whatever. I just think it was great. So I would subscribe to him if I were listening to this and turn on to that. So,
yeah. And actually, even though you haven't communicated with him, maybe we should reach out and see if he would come on.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah, he's pretty popular. He's pretty high profile, I guess is the word. And, you know, we've had some good guests on. So you never know. Might be worth asking. Okay, I mean, that was what I wanted to do. And I want everybody to know that CJ was just, I texted him. I'm like, hey, I got an idea. We're going to watch this video. And I was like, and so he didn't know anything about it, but yeah. It was good to get your reaction in the moment. Okay, so hey, one more time, we'll just remind March 16th, we're going to do a live stream. It's a Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. And it'll be a live stream on YouTube. And we'll Eastern, be doing logical.
4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern time, right? And we'll be doing a show on logical fallacies. Karis will be there, CJ, myself, and anyone else who wants to join, share the show. Be cool to get a big audience. I don't really care about being popular. It'll be fun if there's, you know, a lot of people involved. And we'll do a little game with the logical fallacies and see who can spot the most. And I may not be right about them, but I'm doing my best. But we'll learn together and it'll be fun. So March 16th, 4 p.m. Eastern, be there or be square, I guess. Yep. Okay. Well, sounds anything good. Else?
Nope. I think it's good.
Okay. That was good. All right. Well, I want to just thank everybody for being here and remember to keep your powder dry and we'll see you.